Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
You're listening to the Cricket Podcast.
I think it was a disgraceful performance, and I think it should never be permitted to happen again.
That is very good.
Hello everyone and welcome to the Cricket Podcast, where we'll be talking about all of the action from the first couple of days of the World Test Championship final between India and New Zealand. I'm Jack Hope and I'm joined by Ross Legg. How are you doing, Ross?
Yep, marvellous, thanks mate. Another engrossing day of high quality Test cricket. I've loved it.
It was really good. It was really good, wasn't it? Ross, before we get into the show, we've got some sponsors and stuff. We've got messages for our fans. Do you want to run through those quickly?
Yep, we are sponsored by Woodstock Cricket. If you've seen this stuff that's been going around on Twitter today, I've even hit a century with the bat, which might may not be true, but so I'm actually better than Virat Kohli because I'm using a Woodstock Cricket bat. You can find them in the show notes that will be up, or find them at Woodstock Cricket on Twitter. We also have Twitter and Instagram at the Cricket Pod. Go and follow it. Go and interact with us. We've got nothing better to do, so we'll answer your questions, etc. So yeah, get in touch with the show.
Yeah, and as ever, hit like, hit subscribe. Make sure you're following along with all of our coverage of not just the World Test Championship final, but the India England series that's coming up in like a month's time or so. Ross, we've had two pretty good days of cricket, as you said. We could have had three. We're 2 days into a six-day game, where you know what I mean. Do you want to give us a quick summary of where we're at this point in time?
Yes. So there's always that bit where I want to kick off with who won the toss, because I think it was here. So New Zealand won the toss and unsurprisingly chose to bowl first. And the favourable bowling conditions, the forecast of rain. I mean, we said on the preview that this was the way to go, especially for the New Zealand bowling attack. But India started off with some real promise, and we had proper test match cricket on the first or the second day. There was a good battle between bat and ball. Rohit and Gill were actually winning that battle for quite a while. But then the depth of the Kiwi bowling lineup showed as both of their openers were dismissed. Pujara then looked in the mood to stand for 1,000 years. CSK's marquee IPL signing showed zero intent to score runs. But fortunately, the Egyptian pyramids record will remain intact for now as Trent Bolt struck. Kohli and Rahane then showed their resilience for the remainder of the day. They were disciplined in leaving the ball, and with a wet outfield, boundaries are really hard to come by. They came back this morning at 1 for 6 for 3. Yep. And this World Test Championship wasn't going to be defined by kind of the batsmen or the bowlers in this situation. It was going to be like, is this going to be the Kohli show? But it wasn't. It wasn't to be that Kohli performance, unfortunately. He was so dogged in that day. but he was trapped early on this morning by Jameson. And then Rahane uncharacteristically threw his wicket away, which I'm sure we'll get onto a little bit later. From that moment on, though, it was a disciplined dissection of the Indian batting lineup from New Zealand, who dismissed them for a below par 217. New Zealand then came out, blunted the Indian bowling lineup in their typical gritty fashion. Fortunately, Ashwin is in the team, so he'll get wicket on any first surface he's playing on. That put them as 70 for one. And then Conway threw away his wicket just as he was kind of looking like he was on for another big score. And that brought, we've got the close of play, really, because of there was some rain and some bad light. So yeah, that's where we are.
Taylor was out for about two balls or something like that. I'm not even sure if he faced one. Yeah, well, you know, let's do what happens with time. Let's start chronologically. Let's go back to yesterday quickly, Ross. New Zealand, I think, maybe would have felt like at the end of the day that they'd let India off the hook a little bit. That, you know, if you put a team into bat in very helpful conditions, we were looking at like the ball was swinging a lot. It was seaming a lot. It was very hard to score runs. India 146 for three. That, I thought, was pretty good going overall. I know it was very attritional. They faced 60-odd overs to get to that 146. But I felt like they'd really set the game up for themselves. Did you?
Yeah, and I think what's really important in this situation, is, as you said, New Zealand won the toss, bowling first. For India to win, they need to try to grind out some of their bowlers. Like you saw when England faced them, Jameson was on his last legs coming into like the fourth day. And it was just like, right, let's put some real time in these guys and really try to blunt what's going on. And then if we can get a score of kind of 280, we are well in the game here. And because we've got the two spinners, actually, that's kind of the game plan. Unfortunately, didn't work out today quite like that. I thought yesterday was India's day yesterday, I thought. Today, though, emphatically New Zealand's.
Yeah. You know, they were a little bit lucky, but you need to be a little bit luckier. And when I say a little bit lucky, I mean, you know, Kohli and Rahane, they played and missed a little bit. But I thought it was basically, you know, a textbook performance in terms of how you master difficult conditions and an excellent bowling attack. You know, we love apportioning blame on this podcast. We like criticising people. That's really why we do this, is to have a go at people who are far better at cricket than we are. Let's talk briefly about New Zealand's bowling yesterday before we get onto the good stuff today. What do you think they did wrong over the course of yesterday's play?
So I think sometimes in English conditions, everything looks like it's in the bowler's favour. So yesterday, it couldn't have been a better day to bowl, right? And I think sometimes as an opening bowler, they probably get into the mindset of going, right, we have to take a wicket here. The skipper has won the toss. There is an expectation on Southee, on Bolt, to find that breakthrough. And to me, it just all felt a little bit desperate. They didn't really have that disciplined bowling approach that we'd actually come to know throughout the World Test Championship. And I think it was epitomised in what was an absolutely terrible review to an LBW on Rohit Sharma, where he must have middled it into his pad. And it was just that air of desperation. But what's really good about Kane Williamson's leadership is that there's not a panic mode. There is, you just get Kane Williamson. He's kind of, I mean, we call Morgan Iceman, but Kane Williamson seems to have that same aura around him and kind of puts that calm through. They had a drinks break, and then straight after that drinks break, I don't know what was in the drinks, but Jameson picked it up, and that's when the breakthroughs came. I think it was that small bit in the session where they might have won. Overestimated like how easy it was going to be to get some wickets, and then underestimated how good Rohit Sharma and Gill actually are. But soon they found their feet.
Yeah, and they were pretty good. It has to be said. I mean, if you look at India's innings, and the sort of second question I'd also, or the final question I'd sort of ask about the first day's play of this test was, you know, bearing in mind that Shubman Gill and Rohit Sharma looked like it was sort of possible to score, or made it look quite easy to bat to some extent, obviously until they were out. Do you think India were maybe a little bit negative for the rest of the day? I mean, I know I was sort of watching it, and at certain points I was kind of wondering what they were waiting for, because in those conditions it is possible to be too careful, I think. You are going to get out. We saw Pujara, you know, get out playing defensively, Coley out playing defensively. Do you think they could have done anything else to, or done anything to maybe just, you know, give themselves an extra 30 runs over the course of the day's play?
Yeah, so I think definitely there is that bit. I think it wasn't helped to mention in the summary that it was a wet outfield. You were not getting value for your shots. There was plenty of kind of deep twos because the Aegeus Bowl is pretty, or the Hampshire Bowl, sorry, ditched the sponsor. is a big ground, right? I think they definitely could have hit some more runs, but you saw them getting skipped. They're out for 217. I mean, there is a piece where 240 might have been better. I just think when New Zealand kind of get a sniff and they're on top, they know how to protect themselves. And you saw that they managed to keep the shackles on Pant. They managed to keep the shackles on Jadeja. I mean, Ashwin was the most attacking batsman. And even then, they stuck to the plan. They didn't mind him going for a couple of boundaries because they knew he was going to keep on going for it and was caught a second slip. So, yeah, I think it was just a really, really good New Zealand performance. But they're not out. India are not out of this game.
No, sure. Let's talk about today then. As you said, and I think as we said a couple of times, India started the day 146 for three. Virat Kohli and Rahane at the crease. They managed to add only three runs in the morning before Kohli was out. And New Zealand, it has to be said, were pretty phenomenal for that whole morning session. And then they carried it on after lunch. And what impressed you most about India's bowling, New Zealand's bowling across the first 40 overs of the day's play?
Well, I think we saw this when they played against England, where the Kiwis might not make a breakthrough for a little while, but their extended high quality bowling lineup just keeps on coming at you. If Southie doesn't perform, they have Trent Bolt. If he doesn't perform, they've got Jameson. They've got De Grantom. They've got Wagner. It's really quite relentless, and the variation in the attack means it is really difficult for the batsman. When you've like here, I thought Kohli did phenomenally well and Rahane did phenomenally well to bat as long as they did. We might talk about them kind of a bit of nutritional cricket, but I thought they did really well yesterday on that front. And then today, New Zealand just didn't let any batsman get into that bit of rhythm. And I think when it's like that, what can you do? Like when the momentum is with a bowling side with all of the conditions in their favour and they're bowling in the right channel, that is a hard place to actually build an innings.
Yeah, it was. India really struggled. Before the game, in our preview show, we said that India's 6, 7 and 8 could be pretty crucial to deciding this match. We speculated, basically, that India's top order would struggle and that it was probably likely that one of Pant, Ashwin or Jadeja would have to contribute quite significantly with the bat. They managed to score 4, 15 and 22 between them. I think, you know, we don't know how this game's going to go. New Zealand are on top at the moment. The draw's probably the favourite. India are the long shot. I think that if New Zealand do win this test, that the way they managed to dismiss those three without them being able to cause too much damage, despite already having sort of 80 overs of work will be maybe the deciding factor. I don't know if you'd agree with that.
I think so. And I think there is a piece in England where a lot of the time England let teams off the hook in their lower order. Like there is an extra kind of 60, 70 runs that kind of come through that bit. And actually here, Ishant Sharma is coming in batting number 9. With a batting average of 8. Like, and sometimes he can have a bit of a dash, get 20 runs, so can Shami, and actually just didn't happen at all. They were, as I said, they were really disciplined in dissecting that bowling, that batting lineup. And I think that was a huge, huge advantage. And you saw today that the pitch wasn't turning that much as well. So they wanted to bat in the game a little bit longer, India, to make it better for their spinners in the long term in the game. And I'm just not sure they got to that bit.
So, New Zealand, they bowled India out for 217 in the end. I thought that was probably 40 runs below par. I know it was difficult to bat. I know the outfield was long. I know New Zealand are good. But I feel like, to be honest, players like Rahane, players like Pant, even Jadeja, I mean, you know, Jadeja is the last person out, but none of those were good shots to get out to. And I feel like that lazy batting, to some extent, will basically cost India the possibility of being up to par. You said Rahane being out was quite funny. Do you want to talk us through that one? And, you know, maybe try and dissect what was going through his mind at that time?
Well, there was a bit where Rahane, I thought, he started off initially scratchy, but as he grew into the game, his confidence grew. And then it was Wagner bowling to him. And Wagner has... All the commentary at the moment is about, oh, how Wagner's not a bouncer bowler anymore. He's learned, he's put the ball up back where he used to do it, etc. Here, it was clear he could still do that. Unsurprisingly, the guy who's bowled like that for 2 years or whatever it is can still do it. Oh, it was like, oh my God. But there was a clear plan to hit him with the short stuff. And there was one ball where he kind of swatted it down and it was just like, you know what, that's probably not the right shot you could be playing here. Like, you can leave that the hell alone. Like, there's no reason for you to be in that position. And then I think it was two balls later, he played exactly the same shot, but was rushed by Wagner. And he's just straight in and just made square leg. It's one of the most easy catches Latham's ever going to take at like kind of square leg, mid-wicket kind of region. And at that point, like, Kohli was out, Rahane was the senior batsman in that scenario, and Pant was just finding his feet. It was really quite poor from the vice captain.
Yeah, I think one of the things that a lot of people were looking forward to in this final was watching Rishabh Pant bat, and I do want to talk about this just for a second. Everyone goes on about how dangerous he is as a player, and that is absolutely true, but it's really fucking hard to be dangerous with your feet up in the pavilion. And I don't really understand, bearing in mind, you know, surely he's watching the game and seeing like Virat Kohli, the world's best batter, trademark, struggling and working his ass off. I can't believe like a player that good would go out and you know, bat dangle basically Keaton Jennings himself to a dismissal for four. Basically, I expected more from Rishabh Pant. I probably expected more from Jadeja. And I think that was a big, big battle won by New Zealand. Let's move on to their batting. Because as it was for the two tests of the England-New Zealand series, it started off as the Devon Conway show. And it looked like it could be the Devon Conway show for probably another 300 deliveries. He was out right before the end of the day, but it was a good innings. And I think it really has put New Zealand in a position of dominance in this test, Ross.
Yeah, I think it's a really, really important breakthrough for Ishant Sharma to get Conway out. And Conway got out in a way in which he was playing one of his, like, it's becoming his trademark shot. It's like the flick off the legs, his hands end up in the air. And it looks great when it comes off. And I think it was just one of those bits where I'm not sure if he was outfoxed to a slower ball or whatever it was. It was just a bad execution. And actually, there's a lot of people, like you mentioned, you talk about Pant kind of throwing it away. I don't think this is Conway throwing it away. I think he's got out. It looks like a stupid way to get out because he's been caught at what, mid on, but actually that is a scoring shot of his. Why would you look to put that away? You want to be able to trust.
It was a pretty bad ball as well, if we're being honest, wasn't it? It was a ball that he probably averages 100 off that. Like that's the one time in the next 50 times he plays it that he's going to get out.
Yeah, and it happens, right? This is, I think there's some stuff on Twitter around, oh, well, we shouldn't be getting out like that when he's a set batsman, etc. That stuff just happens. That is cricket, and that, regardless of that bit, there is always one with your name on it, particularly. And I think your point about Pant going in and saying, oh, you've just watched what's happening here. I think what was a stark contrast to that was the way Latham and Conway both set up their game. They were just like, we have to see out the first kind of what, like, we both need to face 100 deliveries here.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the mentality. There was still the opportunity to score because that's what was going to happen. But there was a real dogged determination, as there always seems to be. Like, they look like they've opened the batting in Test cricket together for years. Like, there seems to be that understanding. There seems to be, and it's brilliant. They're coming up against one of the best bowling lineups in the world. Other than them, there's that bit.
Yeah, they don't have to face themselves. So it's, I think that's a good point as well, because New Zealand did bat well, but I think there are some India fans who are probably a little bit frustrated with how India are perceived to bowl. And I was listening to a little bit of this game on the radio, and the commentators were doing that thing, basically demanding that the bowlers bowl full. But from what I saw, I thought India actually bowled reasonably well. There were chances that flew through the slips. New Zealand are scoring at 2 and over. Like that should tell you that it's really hard work out there. And I think, you know, that point around whether India should have bowled Fuller. Well, the trade-off if you bowl Fuller is that you are easier to score off as well. And it takes to some extent, it takes seam out of the game. Like you don't, it's a bit like, you know, spin bowling. If you toss it up and you bowl full and you're a spinner, it's easier to bat against because you don't have to worry about the ball deviating too much. So I thought India's lengths were pretty good. And I've got the scorecard up here. Ishant Sharma's 1 for 19 of 12 overs, going at 1.5 and over. Mohammed Shami, who I thought was excellent today. And I know there are a couple of people who said Siraj maybe should have been in the team instead of Shami. I think Shami's probably been India's best bowler. He's bowled 11 overs for 19 runs, an economy of 1.7. Ashwin's bowled 12 overs, taken a wicket, gone for 20 runs, an economy of 1.6. The only bowler who's been, that New Zealand haven't struggled to score or haven't struggled, you know, against is Jasprit Bumrah. And, you know, unfortunately for India, sometimes when it's not your day, it's not your day. I mean, they could easily have picked up another couple of wickets. So I don't think it's really it's been a poor Indian bowling performance so much as New Zealand have played the percentages. They batted really well. What are they now? 101 for two. Ross, what do you reckon their chances are of winning from here?
What, New Zealand or India's?
New Zealand.
Yeah, I think they're definitely...
Well, both. Like, do your full spread.
First and foremost, I need to say thank you to Swadin, who's given us a super chat in the chat. So thanks for that, mate. Nice to see you back listening to us. I think when it comes to their chances, New Zealand are in the driving seat here, but they are the conditions aren't going to be that different over the coming days. Like, it's still going to be bowler friendly. They're still going to need to be like a load of discipline on show. Unfortunately for India, the batting lineup for New Zealand is built around grit and determination, and so there shouldn't be that piece where Ross Taylor is going to come in and Kane Williamson's at the crease and they're throwing their wickets away. Like, I think Latham threw away his wicket and I think Conway threw away his wicket as well, but they were trying to build that runs up, so I can kind of see it. When you get to 70 for naught as an opening pair, you have a bit of license to be like, actually I'm going to try and hit the spinner here. I can understand getting out that way. I think from India's point of view, that they need to come back and take what, 3-4 wickets in the first opening in the morning session and really limit the runs. I don't think it's going to be free flowing. I think that the game is not out of their hands. I think I've seen some of the bits on CricViz saying India have less than 10% chance of winning. I don't think that's true. I think the quality of India's players mean that they can salvage something from here. I'm probably putting it closer to 30%, 70%. And I mean, the rain probably is going to come and ruin this whole thing anyway.
That's a good point. We should, I think, talk about the other star performer in this test match so far, Bad Light. It has been incredibly frustrating. I saw a tweet from the Edges and Sledges podcast. One of them, I think, was at the game. I'm guessing DJ because he lives in London. And he was basically saying it's incredibly frustrating. You know, we're here, it's not raining. The light has been crap all day. It's not got any worse. Like, the clouds, you know, they haven't. There's not more clouds. We're at peak cloud. We've been at peak cloud from ball one. Ross, it's a classic case of cricket being dumb as shit, isn't it? This bad light situation in this match.
Cricket is its own worst enemy at times. If it's not trying to set up new formats and say that test matches are boring or whatever, they're key people coming out and just be like, yeah, this isn't good anymore. It's not a viable product. Women and children don't understand what's going on. Like, nobody in the higher levels of cricket does it any favours. I mean, I'm not the biggest umpire fan anyway, but here, like, when that little light reader comes out, you're just like, the only thing I want you to do with that is shove it up your ass. Like, honestly, there is no bit. Like, the commentator said, oh, it's got to be a fair kind of game. If you are, we've not had enough cricket. People have not been able to go to see the cricket as well because of this pandemic. Like genuinely, unless it's pitch black and they've got Bumrah coming in and you cannot see the ball, like, just play the game. You've got floodlights. Play the bloody game.
Yeah,
I think I sound like Michael Vaughan.
I kind of agree with that. I mean, the flip side, I think, is, you know, you don't want any players to get injured. Bumrah bowls seriously fast. He could hurt someone if they can't pick the ball up properly. I think basically that it wasn't actually dark enough for that to be an issue. And I do wonder, Why is it so subjective? Why is it like a bloke who's probably like in his 50s, probably a little bit blind anyway, who decides, oh, it's now too dark, so I'm going to get my electric machine out, measure how dark it is. And from then on in this match, whenever it gets, you know, this dark, we're off and cricket cannot possibly be played. Why is there not, if you're going to have bad light as a rule, which I think is fundamentally dumb if you've got floodlights, and I think you'd probably agree with that, then at least standardise it, because it did feel like it feels like we've lost probably 15, 20 overs from this match, because Richard Kettleborough or Michael Gough. Yeah, or
Richard Illingworth.
Yeah. Thinks that he can't, or that, you know, has made this executive decision. It just seems very, very, very archaic, doesn't it?
I do like your point there, Jack, as well, around... Sorry, I think you asked a question, but there was that single point. Like, cricket loves a rule. There is a bit where you're just like, oh, it has to be this millimetre, has to be this. Why not just have a base, like a minimum baseline of, like, this is what the metre's going to be? But I completely agree with you on that.
Right. We've had some questions about the weather forecast tomorrow. I have had a look at this from different places. It doesn't look good. I think is the general prognosis. I'd be very surprised if there's any play before lunch. It's supposed to be less heinous after lunch, but still quite poor. So I think there's probably at least a 50% chance there's no play whatsoever tomorrow. And if there is, I think you're probably looking at 10 to 30 overs across the afternoon and evening sessions. But that's cricket in England, to be honest. Ross, before we go on to like listener questions or anything and stuff like that, is there anything else from this match that you've noticed or wanted to bring up or amused you?
Yeah, I think what I liked to see was actually Shubman Gill actually coming out and playing the way he did. I think it was clearly a plan where they're walking down the crease. And it's difficult enough when you're an opening batsman in England to be have different moving parts. But actually, it worked for a little while. Him and Rohit were both doing it. Kohli was batting like a yard outside of his crease as well. It's clearly a plan to negate the moving ball. And I enjoyed seeing that purely on the fact that when we talk about England, we're always saying, the batsmen who are struggling, and let's not go around it. Shubman Gill was struggling in India to play the swinging ball, and he wasn't swinging that much. Coming over here needed a plan, right? And actually, them working on something like that is really like that is what should be happening. That you don't have batting coaches, you don't have Rahul Dravid involved in the setup, etc. If you're not going to start to learn, and that was really, really good to see.
Yeah, I thought he looked like he had more of a plan than in the England series in India.
And he's got a seriously good pull shot. He pulled a couple of them. Like Bolt was trying to bounce him, and he was pulling him in front of square. I mean, you know you're in good nick when you're doing that to someone as good as Trent Bolt.
Here's a question. I don't know if you'll know the answer to it, just on that technique of batting outside your crease or going down the pitcher and the ball swinging. Why do batters do that and not what they do in the IPL, where they go really, really deep? To give themselves as much time as possible. Is there an obvious reason that I haven't seen, or is it just, you know, that's what batters do?
I think you're taught when you're opening the batting, especially when the ball is moving around, that you need to get forward. Like it's not a thing where you have to, like you want to be bat and pad relatively close together and you're playing the ball underneath your eyes. Whereas when in the IPL, they're trying to give themselves enough time and the transfer of their weight, and I could be talking complete rubbish here, but in my head, their transfer of weight is different and they've opened themselves up to score with more aggressive shots. You're not playing aggressive shots in that way, but could be wrong.
Cool. I think you gave us your predictions. I reckon from here, just to put my cards on the table, I reckon India have got a 10% chance of winning this match. I think New Zealand have probably got a 40% chance. And then I think it's most likely to be a draw, to be honest. I think if they do lose most of tomorrow, then it's going to be pretty difficult. And it's obviously hard to score runs. And I think if unless something mad happens, like New Zealand are bowled out for another 50, or they suddenly start scoring at four and over and score all day if they score four and over for 90 overs and only bat once, I just think it's going to be very hard to force an obvious result. I think it will go right down to the wire. But that's kind of what I think. Lots of people in the chat sort of saying draw as well. Ross, do we have any questions from anybody over in the chat? Because we've got one from Twitter. Or I've got a couple from Twitter. So we'll start with the Twitter ones. Do you think Siraj in the India squad would have made a difference?
No, not really. I think in this condition, like, it's a final. You're playing your best team. Shami is ahead of Siraj. Sharma is ahead of Siraj, and so is Bumrah. So, no.
Yeah, I agree. And how does the wicket of Devon Conway change the complexion of the match from Paul Traill?
If it was Ollie Pope and Dan Lawrence in the middle, massively. The fact that it's Kane Williamson and Ross Taylor who have scored 25,000 runs between them, I think they should be all right.
Yeah, and then you've got Nicholls, Watling, Colin de Grandhomme, Kyle Jameson to come. Yeah. That's a meaty middle order.
I think that's four batsmen who are averaging over 40 in Test cricket. Yeah. Right in that.
That's decent. That is pretty decent. Any questions from the live chat?
Yes, we do. I have one from SCS or SC Scopes, which is, should the pink ball be made standard and do away with the red ball? Please, God, no.
No.
No, no, don't, no, no, no. Unless they improve the pink ball and it's not just that marble lacquer or whatever the shit that they used in India was. Like, no, absolutely not.
Crazy golf cricket.
Yeah, it was. Rick and Patel asks, what did you think of the pace with which New Zealand batted this afternoon? Should they have gotten more runs, especially as rain is expected tomorrow? So where are we at the moment? We're day three.
Yeah, but it's actually day two, isn't it, if you think about it. So the test match is going to finish on Wednesday. It's day three of six or day two of five, whichever way you want to look at it. New Zealand are 100 runs behind with allegedly 3 days to play, although we're pretty sure it will actually only be 2 days. So could they have scored quicker? I think in an ideal world, they'd have liked to, but we saw, the two wickets that have fallen have been people trying to push the run rate. So maybe, I kind of made the point that maybe India batted too slowly. Maybe it is just really, really hard to score runs. Sometimes it can be like that. I'd be interested to see if they come out on Tuesday. I think the weather's supposed to be a little bit better. I think it's supposed to be a bit brighter. If the conditions, have improved, basically, maybe if they cut the grass or something. I don't know if they're allowed to do that halfway through a match. Maybe if they cut the grass, they'll push on and try and score at three and over. Because if they can get up to 300 or 350, I think they will win this match. I think if they're bowled out for 280, or less, I think, a draw is the big winner. Obviously, they don't want to completely blow up. And I think I'm right in saying that if it's a draw, both teams share the prize. So, if it's a draw, everyone wins. And I think that probably factors into some of the scoring rates as well. Mm-hmm. But I think today, it just looked very hard to bat. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think you can see that by the economy of all the bowlers that you read out. Like it's not a free flowing game like that. It's just, and that's it. Look, some of the best games, the last time these two faced off in a semi final or final, that was a turgid kind of game. The England versus New Zealand game, that was a turgid kind of ODI game. Like, this is now one of those bits where New Zealand, India are getting dragged down to New Zealand's kind of game plan, and their game plan is to just grind and grind and grind, and this definitely suits them over that. But that is, again, you cannot write off India. They have come back like time and time again, especially in these conditions, and they've still got some phenomenal players. Tejas has asked me to rate Virat Kohli's knock. I thought he was really good yesterday. He showed that determination. He proved that he can bat in England before. But this, you were seeing kind of Kohli try to work it out. And I mean, if he's struggling in these conditions, right, as Jack was saying earlier, like, Pant should take a bit of a lesson and be like, at least try and see out a little bit and play yourself in. Don't just leave your bat dangling out like a carrot. I don't know what was going on there.
He only hit 1-4, Kohli, and we know his boundary percentage is pretty low anyway, at least in T20 cricket. But I think that sort of illustrative, he scored 44 runs. He's not someone who traditionally struggles to time the ball. And in white ball cricket, when he doesn't score, when he's not hitting lots of boundaries, it's usually because there are fielders on the boundary, and that wasn't the case. So I thought Kohli batted really well. I think Devon Conway and him, I think, have been the two batters who looked most at home, most capable on this wicket and in this game so far.
Mm-hmm. I agree. We've not got too many other questions, really, unfortunately. I think when it comes to the other stuff is that Bumrah is overrated, which I'm not sure I agree with. I think he's going to be injured coming back into this. I think that's I don't think that's quite a hot take from whoever's put that in the chat. But I think we can wrap this up, Jack.
Cool. Great. Just a quick reminder, if you're listening, hit that subscribe button. Hit that like button as well. Leave us a comment or put something in the chat. We're trying to beat YouTube's algorithm. You can help us to do that by spamming us, basically, with your thoughts about cricket or smashing that like button. Also, you can head over to patreon.com/thecricketpod if you'd like to support the show directly. We are sponsored by Woodstock Cricket, who make excellent bats, and that's why Ross has got more centuries in the last 18 months than Virat Kohli. And did you say you can find us at The Cricket Pod on Twitter? Oh, so
you can say it again, mate. You can say
well,
it
look,
again.
Head over there. We only picked up 3 or 4 followers today, so let's go there, create your Twitter account, and get involved with all of our sarcastic comments about Virat Kohli during day's play. Last question, we've got one from Mayank here. Do you think Devon Conway is going to be part of the new Fab Four? Ross, see you out the show with your thoughts on that.
No.
Alright, great. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for watching. I think we're going to try and come back tomorrow, aren't we, with a little recap of day 3. We should have Max back in the team by then. I don't know where he is now. He said he was on a bus. We will see you then. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.